The reading today is taken from Luke chapter 1, beginning at verse 57. When it was time for Elizabeth to have her baby, she gave birth to a son. Her neighbours and relatives heard that the Lord had shown her great mercy, and they shared her joy. On the eighth day, they came to circumcise the child, and they were going to name him after his father, Zechariah. But his mother spoke up and said, "No, he is to be called John." They said to her, "There's no one among your relatives who has that name." Then they made signs to his father to find out what he would like to name the child. He asked for a writing tablet, and to everyone's astonishment, he wrote, "His name is John." Immediately his mouth was opened and his tongue was loosed, and he began to speak, praising God. The neighbours were all filled with awe, and throughout the hill country of Judea, people were talking about all these things. Everyone who heard this wondered about it, asking, "What then is this child going to be?" For the Lord's hand was with him. Zechariah's song. His father, Zechariah, was filled with the Holy Spirit and prophesied, "Praise be to the Lord, the God of Israel, because he has come and has redeemed his people. He has raised up a horn of salvation for us in the house of his servant David, as he said through his holy prophets of long ago. Salvation from our enemies and from the hand of all who hate us, to show mercy to our fathers and to remember his holy covenant, the oath he swore to our father Abraham, to rescue us from the hand of our enemies and to enable us to serve him without fear in holiness and righteousness before him all our days. And you, my child, will be called a prophet of the Most High, for you will go on before the Lord to prepare the way for him, to give his people the knowledge of salvation through the forgiveness of their sins, because of the tender mercy of our God, by which the rising sun will come to us from heaven to shine on those living in darkness and in the shadow of death, to guide our feet into the path of peace." And the child grew and became strong in spirit, and he lived in the desert until he appeared publicly to Israel. This is the gospel of Christ.
Some of you may remember the program, One Foot in the Grave. Classic exclamation of, and I'm not going to try and say it in the way it should be, but "I don't believe it." It was said by the main character, Victor Mildew, usually very grumpily when he was anything surprising and annoying happened to him, which was a lot. Usually it really was unbelievable. The plot becoming more and more bizarre as the programme went on. He had a very human reaction to a very unbelievable scenario. So in a previous reading, we heard about Zechariah, who had been chosen by lot to go to the temple. He'd possibly had to wait a long time for his name to be drawn, and the offering of incense could only be done once in the selected person's lifetime. Some priests would never receive that privilege. Yet as we saw, he really could not believe it when he was spoken to by a messenger of God. And to be fair, it was a pretty unbelievable scenario. As a result of his disbelief, he'd been made mute and potentially not able to hear as people needed to make signs to communicate to him. This human reaction may make us feel a little bit for Zechariah. And as a keen football fan, I liken the impact on him as being in the big cup final, having waited your chance to be part of the team and finally chosen, perhaps a regular is injured. You finally make it in, a one-time opportunity. It is the last minute of the game and you need a goal to win. There is an open goal and you miss. All that training, all that waiting, preparation over the years, you reach the pinnacle of your career and you fluff your lines. Your chance to be part in history has been lost. Sick as a parrot, as they say. I can't believe I did that. And perhaps you can empathise in some way when you feel you've been told by God, in the same way as Zechariah was, to do and say something. So in today's reading, we are now 9 months on, and the baby has been born. Zechariah is still not able to speak, and he's had plenty of time to reflect on what he said and not said, reliving that moment, playing it over and over again in his mind. If only. We don't know much about what happened during the previous 9 months. It seems to be a very isolating time, both physically away from others and in not being able to communicate what had happened to him that day. It becomes clear he has a writing tablet, but unlike our tablets today, it would not have helped him in keeping him occupied with all that was going on around him. But what soon becomes clear is that something in him has shifted. When he was called upon to contribute again, he was not going to blow it. He had spent his time alone well and had found a way to communicate something of great importance to the ongoing story, affirming the name of the baby by writing it down. This one movement from him seemed to free something in him, and he was able to speak again, led by the Holy Spirit that was within him. And how? That time of silence had not been wasted. He'd been able to think deeply about things, be filled with the Holy Spirit. Those moments he must have gone through of darkness, of doubt, have now led to light and faith. He has made sense of what is going on. He is quick to proclaim that God, in his actions, is fulfilling his promises of the Old Testament in a worldly salvation. But he's also opening up a whole new world where sin and death themselves are dealt with. And this is the theme that continues through the book of Luke. Zechariah's lack of faith has now become a new sign for others, that God is doing a new thing with the birth of John, who in turn will speak to others about what is to come, the coming of salvation and forgiveness of sin. He talks of this salvation as being of God's light, overcoming the darkness in the world. Yes, in his song, he acknowledges the patriarchs, kings, and prophets. But this centuries-old story is going to come round a corner at last, out of darkness to sudden light. God is fulfilling his promises, but it also acknowledges the personal hopes and fears of ordinary people. God is using real people in Zechariah, and being a priest meant nothing when it came to it. He still doubted. Elizabeth and Mary, all human, have hesitated between faith and doubt. In turn, it is clear that the big picture in these stories and the smaller individual stories both matter. It shows God acting in flawed, failed individuals, not the kings or rulers, in people like you and I. Zechariah's time alone had helped him find a voice, one that would make a difference. And it's a comfort to us, as we are only human. We can all have times of questioning our faith and cannot or do not believe it when we're asked to do or say something. Those times when we feel we're being called and we blow it. That word of hope or comfort we did not say. That act God asks us to take. The whispers of his voice in the night we ignore. We are all on a journey of faith, and doubts are part of that. Our faith can be challenged in all kinds of circumstances. Terry Anderson was one of the hostages with Terry Waite, who you may remember was captured and held hostage for years. Terry was a strong Christian who was put in an unbelievable situation of isolation and fear. In a book, he speaks movingly of his time as a captive. It was a time of really being challenged on his faith, and many doubts and fears came to the surface. In a series of poems, he talks of these challenges that can reach deeply into those who read them. In one particular poem, he thought a lot about what I believed, and he came up with a definition of faith for him. In his own need, he said, he felt a light and warm and loving touch that eased his soul and banished doubt and let him go. He realised it was not proof, because there was none, but he concluded, "Faith's what you find when you're alone and find you're not. Faith then to endure captivity and something more." Communion was also a particular time when he felt God's presence. He and the other hostages held a very basic communion service, which was something familiar for them, all to hold on to in the face of an impossible situation. A reminder that Christ fulfilled his promise and his presence fills us. So isolation is painful and just as real for us. It's possible to be isolated with feelings of doubt in places where there are large groups of people, through to places where no one else is physically present. In these situations, it's easy for us to lose our voice. It's not easy to communicate well with others about what has happened, how we feel, the doubts we have. But we will all have these experiences, and we're all on a collective and individual journey of faith with all of its bumps along the way. So can I suggest that now is as good a time as any to take a step out of any isolation you may have got yourself into due to any doubts and fears you have been holding, and find your voice of faith again. Let something shift in you in the way it did for Zechariah, from doubting God's message to him, reflecting on it, to hearing and seeing it unfold in the way it did, and then to speak about it. You might find it helpful to speak to someone, and you're welcome to speak to me, to Ben, or any of the team here, if that will help you. Maybe take some time to read stories of others who have struggled in the past. It could be familiar Bible stories, which are full of human failures, misunderstandings, and lack of communication. Perhaps read a book that will tell individual stories of how others found faith, or of them following God's call for them. It's rarely been easy. So it's only by addressing any doubts that we can move forward and find out what God has in store for us at this time of Advent, when we are waiting, watching and praying, ready to celebrate the coming of the light into the darkness of the world, bringing joy, peace and love where we all have our part to play. Light in our darkness that can never be extinguished.